From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Farm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. One Jeffrey Wright going to join us for a pretty good amount of time today on the program. We're going to talk college football. We're going to talk NFL. We're going to talk Auburn. We're going to talk NBA. We're going to talk a lot of stuff. So hang in. We're going to give you kind of a potpourri of sports topics today on the podcast, if you will. And the way for you to potentially win some prizes this weekend, you just head on over to the Oxford Exxon, the Blue Sky location on Highway 6 West, sign up for the Exxon Mobile Rewards Plus card, and you get an automatic chance to win 4 tickets to the Ole Miss Auburn game, VIP passes, Ole Miss apparel, and much more. If you're not a Rewards Plus card member, you can sign up and register at ExxonandMobileRewardsPlus.com. But when you do that, head on over and you're automatically entered again for all those tickets, all those prizes, and much more. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. You can converse with Corey about his strategy on catching up with his brother in Neil's picks. Barrett doing really well in picks.
I believe he and I are tied.
He actually is a half game ahead of you because he picked.
He hit that on the nose?
He hit that on the nose, so it's a tie.
So he screwed up and got it right.
Come
on. He didn't intentionally pick a push.
No, he didn't intentionally pick a push.
But in any other score, he loses.
Yes, but because he didn't lose, it's a push.
That's ridiculous.
The way the math works out.
It's still ridiculous.
I'm not disputing that. Sometimes math is ridiculous.
It's not as good as a few years ago when we did you were trying to catch up, so we did the horse races, and you chose it wrong on a race that had already happened, and you still picked the losing horse. So that was good.
Not my best moment.
It should have been a bit of a free space, I'm just saying.
Anyway,
you're like the American equivalent of like the kids in the third world country that think the Bills were the power in the 90s when they got all the shirts.
Man, they won 4 yeah. Super Bowls.
Dynasty. Jim Kelly jerseys everywhere.
Thurman Thomas. Unbelievable. 662-257-1900. Ask for Corey. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. No haggling. There's no hassle. It's just easy. You get your quote, and then you can go from there. And when you end up doing what you're going to do, which is coming back to Corey and getting that new Ford you've had your eye on, tell him that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast, and you'll save $500 on the already great bottom line. Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
419 only, J.G. Tate at Funky's tonight. Make note, starting a couple minutes early, 5:15, 5:20 start time tonight for the live show at Funky's. We're going to do $2 domestics, $4 margaritas. We're going to pick a daiquiri that's $4 as well, probably some $12 pizzas. So a lot of different specials and things going on there. J.G. in the house. He apparently has a bone to pick with me, so we'll hash that out. And
he is upset at you.
He keeps on about it. It's been going on for like 3 or 4 weeks.
He's proud of his hair, and you make fun of him.
I told him it was not a negative connotation. I simply ask why. And no one's really explained why yet.
Why doesn't
automatically have a negative connotation?
If I were in Jay's shoes, I would have interpreted the question why as a biting, incisive question that was laced with sarcasm and derision.
So if I walk in the morning and I've dyed my hair pink, you're not going to ask why?
I will, and that will be all. I will have prejudged you, because when I say why, you'll know right away. I'm going, that is so stupid. It's my point.
It's a basic
you're
human,
speechless it, because you're like, yes, exactly.
It's a basic human thing to question that move. It wasn't a negative.
Okay.
I didn't ask why he went to Steel Panther. I know the answer to that. Like,
seen the video where Kelly Clarkson?
I showed it to me. You. Yeah.
there's different whys. When you show up in the morning, like today you're in sweats. When you show up in the morning and you're all dressed up, I'm like, hey, what's going on? What you doing?
Yeah.
That's not a negative. It's a, hey, you look nice. Where are you headed?
Yeah.
If you show up and you've gotten a fresh haircut and your hair looks normal, I don't say, why'd you cut your hair?
But when you ask me, okay, why do you have on those clothes, it's not a negative thing. You're just curious. No. So maybe I was just curious.
Yeah, if Carson's getting a haircut today.
Yeah.
He gets a normal haircut.
Okay.
I don't say, why'd you get your haircut like that? If Carson goes in and tells the lady, hey, I want a mohawk, and he comes out with the mohawk, I'll say, why? There's a difference.
White hair or gold hair, as he is, constitutes the why on just explain it to me. Tell me why.
What I love is because we do Greatest Pot in the South.
I know the answer is kind of an odd duck. That's fine. We're all odd ducks. But
he plays with it the whole time during
does he really?
Greatest Pot in the South. Yeah, it's hilarious. And it's so long.
It kind of loops out now.
Well, it's really long. Like he pulls it out. It's like as far as his hand can take it practically.
I haven't seen Jay in a while. He's dropped a lot of weight and turned his hair gold since then. He's going to look different.
Yeah,
I mean, I probably haven't seen Jay in a year or two.
Yeah, he's dropped some weight. And the hair is...
And the hair. And he's kept it.
It's not really gold. It's yellow.
Well, yeah, it's bleached, but bleached... In not the way of the shortstops who have white hair.
Yeah, it's not as yellow as like LSU's pants, but it's more that than it is gold.
It's almost like the old Missouri pant. It's kind of dingy, kind of duller, kind of the more yellowy color.
That's fair.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
like the Brad Smith Missouri teams.
Like if I think gold. I think like the Saints pants, well, Saints helmet. It's not that color.
It's old. It's not even old gold. It's just dull.
Yeah. I will say this again. I said it already in the interview with Jay. I mean, with Jeffrey, we taped Greatest Pod in the South, episode 33. I can't believe we've actually done 33 episodes, but we have. And if you're interested in what's going on with Auburn, with Gus Malzahn going into this game against Ole Miss, you should listen.
You're just teasing the crap out of it.
It's the it's really good. It's first half of the podcast. You should listen.
Okay. Fair enough. Oh, all right. Matt Luke up on the site. Got some content that I wrote yesterday. I'm looking at Braylon Sanders from an advanced analytics standpoint. He's taking over for DK Metcalf. I'm kind of curious what they do here, and I think they're going to line up Sanders on the right side of the field and actually move Lodge to the other side because Sanders does not have a catch this season on the left side of the field. When he started for Lodge, it was on the right side against Southern Illinois, and then he kept him on the right side and moved Lodge to the left against Arkansas last week. So I'd be curious with a week of preparation, do they move him? He's had 20 targets so far this year without a drop, Braylon has.
Yeah.
AJ and DK and Lodge got drops. Braylon does not to this point. Now AJ's got a ton more targets than the rest of them. But look at him a little bit. Look at the numbers he had, and then we also break down Jared Stidham, who has not handled pressure well whatsoever. It appears that Auburn
it's bad, and I know you looked at it analytically. Oof. And analytically, it's awful. Oof. With the eye test. And I've watched Auburn some this year. If you pressure him, it is a nightmare.
Yeah, he has a 29 rating, 0 to 100, when facing pressure.
I got to be honest, Chase. Focus. I'm shocked it's that high.
He's thrown a couple touchdowns.
Okay.
He's got a couple touchdowns. But he has a 25% completion percentage on balls, I think 20 yards down the field. 25, only hits 1 out of 4. By comparison, Tamu has much better numbers on that all the way around.
Well, yeah.
One of the best and one of the worst. Jordan Rogers made the point that they only have 6 completions the entire season between 8 and 44 yards in the middle of the field. Just haven't even used the middle of the field at all. It is a poor coaching performance by whoever their OC is now and then Gus Malzahn because
– Chad Lindsey.
It is Chip Lindsey.
Chip Lindsey.
Yeah, Chip Lindsey.
My apologies to Chad Lindsey.
Yeah. Wherever,
You may be, I am sorry.
Because, I mean, you've got video of Jeremy Pruitt calling out Auburn's plays before the snap on Saturday where they're getting in the formation and Pruitt's going, hey, so-and-so, it's coming to you, and literally telling the defender where the ball is coming.
Yeah.
You've got the Jordan Rogers stat we pointed out yesterday or day before where essentially they throw it or pass it depending on the tight end being on the field or wherever he's lined up.
Yeah.
Lined up. I mean, it's – It's not good on the plains right now. It's about as poorly as it can be, considering you have that, and then also on the same sports page you go, is this Alabama team the best college football team in history? And running that against each other is quite the predicament for
the
Tigers.
Well, because you have on one side you have an offense that's predictable and blah, and on the other side at Alabama you have an offense that very well may be the best offense in the history of college football.
It's on pace points wise and records wise or stats wise or whatever to be in that conversation.
Got a quarterback who's going to win the Heisman, two elite running backs.
You do.
At least two elite wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
A very good offensive line. And then just dudes.
I'm all about Judy. I take him right now. He could play for me today.
And the kid whose brother plays at Ole Miss, Ruggs, play for me too.
Like him too.
Oh.
Henry.
Henry Ruggs. He played for me all day long. And then the kid that caught the ball in the title game.
All of them is what you're saying.
I mean, they're really good. Ole Miss gets all the hype at wide
receiver.
Listen,
Alabama team that's being considered this, and their defense is just
it's okay.
Good.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's good.
It's okay.
It's good. It's not great. It's not elite. It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
It's on a scale of 1 to 10, it's like a 7.8.
Yeah, it's fine.
But with that offense, that's plenty.
Oh, man.
And in fairness to their defense, you do, as a defender, sort of lose some of your intensity when you're up 42 to nothing.
I think so.
I mean, you're not in the huddle. There is no sense of urgency other than Nick Saban yelling at you. But no one's going, hey, if they score here, what? I mean, what's the worst that could happen?
Tua has to play another snap. I mean, is that?
I mean, it's 42-3, coach. If they score here, it's going to be all right.
How do you think Tua's been passing the time? Is he putting the headset on, or is he just going, like, grabbing his cell phone and getting plans set for later? Like, what's he doing?
I think he actually – this is part of the reason it works over there, is I think he and Hurts actually like each other. Mm-hmm. They probably would like to hate each other, but they don't. And I think he cheers for Jalen. He knows Jalen's going to leave after this season and go someplace.
Yeah,
and he knows
clear hierarchy. There's no
– Yeah, and he's going to be the guy again next year, and then he's going pro. And so it's just all kind of worked out. So Jalen comes in, and he's like – and now with his knee tweaked a little bit, he's probably like, yeah, you go ahead. Mm-hmm. I need to get well so that I can – I don't know what.
No major news updates yesterday at all. C.J. Miller is still questionable to probable probably for Saturday. You know Winters is out. Obviously, DK's out. And then Dasher's fine. That was a first-half targeting, so he is eligible to play the entire game on Saturday against Auburn. So we'll see.
Completely non-Ole Miss related sort of. I saw where Ty Story got cleared to play. I'm shocked.
Did he?
Because that dude, if you'd asked him, where are you right now?
He looked really bad in those first 3 or 4 seconds because he did. He stood up and then did that kind of clumsy stumble again and fell back down. And you went, oh, that's.
Where you asked him, hey, where are you? He'd say, Scarecrow?
Yeah. Couldn't have told you Little Rock or Fayetteville at that moment.
I wouldn't think. I'm glad he's okay, though, because that looked a little scary. I get worried about head injuries, so I was glad to see the kids okay.
Yeah, and that was the one that was just kind of his fault for staying in bounds after they almost got him killed with the dumb play call earlier in the game. So
they've got he's in a weird spot this weekend. Speaking of like Tua and Jalen, they've got Kelly
Cole Kelly?
No, the kid from Clemson, Kelly Bryant. Kelly Bryant's taking an official visit to Arkansas this weekend, and most people think he will commit. And if he commits, let's face it, he's coming in to be the quarterback. That means Ty Story's going to take a seat.
That's interesting because Kelly Bryant played for an incredibly talented Clemson team. It was good, but not wasn't great. I mean, maybe this is a hot take. Maybe it's not. I watched a good bit of college football. I don't know that Kelly Bryant's a lot better than Ty Story.
I agree with you.
I think Ty Story, with the same tools and the same people around him, would be just as good as Kelly Bryant.
What I noticed about Ty Story was he was getting better week to week to week.
Yeah, I mean,
why are you bailing on that? I thought Ty Story against Ole Miss was significant.
Bryant's already shown he's not going to go sit on the bench for Ty Story. So
no.
It's his job.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't a Chad Kelly deal. I mean, it's all right. And Kelly Bryant's no Chad Kelly.
No.
Not even in the same realm.
No. I mean, he lost his job to a really good quarterback. Trevor Lawrence is going to play in the NFL.
He's fine. He's good. Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to play.
He's a great freshman
quarterback. He's going to play in the league.
But I don't know. Kind of weird there. But that's it. That's about it. There is on the message board, I'll just tell you, I kind of geeked out yesterday and answered a question I've been having for 10 years now. I was curious what Mike Bianco rattles on about. prior to games when he's going over ground rules with coaches because it takes like 10 minutes and he's always waving his hands, you know, the Italian in him and stuff. And so I asked him, I said, I'm an opposing coach, take me through it. So that audio is on the message board if you're curious.
Was it funny?
It was just more than I thought. I mean, Mike is very detail-oriented, so a lot of little bitty details to that park that, because just looking at it, you would think it's a pretty standard ground rule park. There's
kinda
nothing
cookie
crazy.
Cutter, just looking at it. Yeah.
No, there's a few things that are not like that in other places. There's some reasons behind it. So he gave a pretty thorough explanation of why everything is as it is. So
it was nice of him. I guess he feels
it's
better.
It's October. I mean, we're just kind of hanging out. I was there for a feature story I'm writing that you'll see in a few days, getting something else. But I was just kind of talking. I was like, so just kind of curious. And
well, he survived a challenge to his job last week.
Beating Delta State, pulled it off. So
a loss, and I was my column was ready.
He's got Little Rock in 2 weeks or next week.
Oh, I know. So well, this is just a reprieve. You lose to Little Rock.
A temporary hiatus.
Oh,
yes, sir.
You lose to Little Rock, and that my Bianco must go column.
Well, it was kind of the thing of, hey, you switch dugouts, is that, you know, whatever, and then it kind of morphed into a ground rules thing. But, like, I mean, like an example, they've got those camera wells right beside the dugouts on both sides.
Yeah.
And he said you could put lines up, but it would aesthetically look worse to make it a dead ball area. So instead, not just off the wall, but off a person, off a camera, anything, it comes back in play. It's a live ball. Camera wells are completely live. No matter if someone's in them or not, ball goes in and out. It is a live ball. Play it.
Huh.
I wouldn't have thought that. I haven't seen that. There's different stuff in the outfield for a ball coming off batter's eye versus coming off a little camera stand that's just beyond the outfield thing. Just simply, he says, like, we say it every week because first time I don't say it, it'll bounce off that stupid stand, and then here we are. So
if it hits the stand, it's a home run.
Yeah. I mean, you can't bounce off the top of the stand over the park.
Right. But if you hit the batter's eye.
Well, the batter's eye is too far back. He said that actually that's one that he didn't even worry about because it's 20 feet. And he's like, off that material, I just don't think it could ever even come back in anyway. So it doesn't really matter, was his opinion. But anyway, that's there. I was killing time and entertaining myself yesterday in October because there's not a lot of October baseball in college that you can really, really do. So
it's a lot of October basketball.
There is.
Everybody went to Birmingham to ask questions that they'd asked a week earlier in Oxford. Yeah. And we'll get to ask again next week in Oxford.
Yeah. I picked a neat freshman. Again, you'll get that feature story. I talked to him for about 15 minutes about a lot of different things. Kind of just got caught up in our own little world. But otherwise.
People want a DJ Jeffries update. I'll give it to you.
Okay.
It's this simple.
Okay.
DJ Jeffries wants to go to Ole Miss. DJ Jeffries' family members want him to go to Ole Miss. Except
one. That sounds pretty basic.
Except one.
Kyle Madden situation brewing?
It's potential. DJ Jeffries' dad does not want him to go to Ole Miss.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, we could all take guesses. I don't know that that would be completely fair. I don't know how it's going to get resolved. I think DJ would like to get it resolved fairly quickly. He wants to sign in the early period, and the early period is getting closer. Still about 3 weeks.
I'm being told on Twitter that I am jinxing Braylon Sanders by pointing out he has no drops and 20 targets so far this season.
There is no such thing as you being able to jinx a player.
You don't believe in jinxes at all? The guy that puts 87 things of deodorant on
a
day does not believe in jinxes.
I do it because just in case. I know because I sit next to you at most Ole Miss games. I know that you will have no impact on Saturday's contest.
You sure? This might be the game where I go down to the sidelines and run out onto the field in the middle of it and try to tackle someone.
Well, that will be newsworthy. let me put it this way. So far, I have not
seen. I've been tackled on the sidelines. I've never actually tackled anyone at this point. So.
And that was before me. So,
it was.
So
that was 07.
In my tenure with you, I've never seen you impact a contest positively or negatively.
It was that guy. Was it a Rivals guy? I think he got fired for this. It was after a game was over. We always talk about the fan thing. This takes it to the next level. He just got covered. It was some ACC team. He ran out on the field after the game, ran up to the opposing coach, and did the choke sign after that team lost the game.
Oh, that was professional.
Yeah, that was good. I'm pretty sure he might have gotten terminated following that.
Well, I would hope.
That thing. Yeah. I don't remember why I heard that story. Somebody, I called a writer. We're going to get something else in a minute. I called a writer at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette for something I was working on, and now I cannot remember what it was. And he, for some reason, during our conversation, told me that story about a rivals guy, but I do not remember.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was a few years ago. I don't remember why we've been talking to Pitt about anything.
Because the bowl game.
No, he didn't cover Pitt, though. He covered, like, West Virginia or something, like, over there. But why would I? I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
We did talk to somebody at West Virginia for a little while.
What was that?
What was that about?
Running joke aside, I don't think we ever actually checked into Dana Holgorsen, so it wasn't that.
No.
He was on our front page for a day, but that's okay.
Well, I had the excuse of an agent floated his name, and I went,
that's all you need.
Yeah, you know what? Why not? I'll sell that for a day.
Oh, coaching searches. Like, the actual content is real, and we try to be fairly whatever, but on the front page, from a picture standpoint, and you wake up that morning and just kind of spin the wheel and go, who can we throw out there today?
Well, on that day, I mean, it was true that his agent was floating Holgorsen's name. That was an actual fact.
Sure.
That was absolutely true.
Sounds good.
I mean, it wasn't any Mike Shula, but it was there.
It was there. Whew. All right. Jeffrey, for a long time coming up here in a second. Before we do that, I'll tell you the podcast brought to you in part by Oxford Wine and Spirits. Getting close to the weekend, head on over, stock up, get ready with all you need from an alcohol standpoint. $150 or more, tell them about the podcast. You save 10% off liquor, 5% off wine, and they're already 5% below industry standards, as is with prices. They've gotten in more allocated bourbon. They've got a great wine selection as well. So head on over, College Hill Road, next to Lost Pizza. That's Oxford Wine and Spirits.
Dana Holgorsen and Mike Shula will not be here this weekend, but if you are, join the Ole Miss Hoops teams for a night on the Square tomorrow night, 6:15 for Square Jam. Complimentary shuttles are available at the Ford Center, 4:30 to 7:30. Ole Miss Hoops looks forward to seeing you Friday night at Square Jam. Then you can join the Ole Miss volleyball team as they take on the Florida Gators Friday night at 7:30. As always, admission is free to the Gillum Center. After a thrilling victory over the Arkansas Razorbacks, the Ole Miss football team returns to the Vault on Saturday as they take on the Auburn Tigers. Tickets can be purchased by visiting olemisstix.com. And the Ole Miss soccer team returns home on Sunday as they take on the Mississippi State Bulldogs at 4 p.m. For more information, visit olemisssports.com. This podcast is also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada. They have a complete selection of everything you're looking for. Great lease deals. Gene and Sandy have been with us for a long time. They'll take care of you the way they have taken care of me. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And the podcast is brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. You can take some comfort in knowing that the results that you get are updated daily. And then send him an email. He'll take care of the rest. It's ha@harryalexander.com.
Get that flu shot as well. G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar in Oxford. They deliver local in the Oxford area, but go on and head on over. If you have insurance, they take care of it for free. If not, $25 for the flu shot. Take care of yourself. Don't get hit with that this flu season. So walk in Monday through Friday. Walk-ins welcome, and get the flu shot with G&M Pharmacy in Oxford. Now, Jeffrey Wright on the Oxford Exxon podcast. Jeffrey, good morning. We were actually speaking of a little NBA before we hit the record button a second ago, and I was going to start there anyway. So I follow Jeff Calkins and Greg Doyle on Twitter, mostly because they're both really good storytellers, and occasionally they'll tweet some things human interest-wise that I end up wanting to read. I'm seeing a lot of overreaction from both sides after one game when, in some ways, and again, I'm not an NBA guy, so that's why I'm asking you, Jeff, it seemed like both teams kind of played to what they are, right? I mean, Memphis won 20-something games last year. I know they got guys back and whatever, but nobody's expecting some 55-win season. And the Pacers, they finished fifth in the East last year. They're going to finish fourth or fifth in the East this year. Wasn't it sort of kind of what both teams thought they would be right now?
Yeah, but you made one big mistake.
Okay.
We're in the middle of football season. And in football season, like, as human beings, and especially as sports take makers, if you will, we are creatures of habit. And when we're in the middle of football season, we can only think about one thing only. We have to overreact. We have to be dramatic. We have to make one game be the beginning and the end of the world. And so we saw that last night because it was pretty much to form. Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head. I mean, Indiana, I think Neil would probably attest, last year was probably the most pleasant surprise, if you will, in the NBA last year.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of people were,
for sure.
I think a lot of people were, you know, even Thunder fans, I think, were probably happy for Victor Oladipo.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were kind of laughing at them. Look what they got for trading Paul George. They got nothing. They got nothing. Well, it turns out that they might have done pretty well in that trade.
It was a trade that both franchises will look at today and say, yeah, I would do it all over again. It was perfect.
Well, and, you know, I think the other flip side of it is, you know, it also goes to the same point that I'm making about football and overreaction. Like, you can't really tell whether or not you got pennies on the dollar for something, like, right off the bat. Even if you get, say, for instance, if you get a bunch of, you know, first-round draft picks, if those are future draft picks and they're protected, you don't know, you don't know, like, that, you know, you could trade with the Grizzlies 5 years ago, and the Grizzlies think that they're giving up, you know, the 20th pick. Well, what if last year wouldn't have been protected? Then they're giving up the rights to the second worst record in the NBA. You don't know when you make that trade. So both teams ended up, in the end, both teams ended up doing pretty well for themselves. And then you look at Indiana last night, they had their almost the exact same core back. They added Tyreek Evans. It's still a sore subject, not because Tyreek's not a Grizzly, but because he was a Grizzly beyond the trade deadline last season. That's why that is a sore subject.
Sure. But
then you look at the Grizzlies, and coming into the season, you could kind of talk yourself into the Grizzlies because for the first time in a while, they weren't just kind of throwing darts at a board when they were assembling the roster. You could kind of see, okay, There is a strategy, there is a plan in place, and there is an identity that they are trying to build toward. And you could kind of talk yourself into it. I'm not saying you talked yourself into, I mean, the truth is, I'm not sure most people even talk themselves into the playoffs, but they talk themselves into being a 35 to 40 win basketball team that finally would get you free from Boston. You send, you know, the number 12 to 14 pick to Boston. You're finally done with the Jeff Green trade. Officially, it's off the books. You no longer have that hanging over your head. You only have 1 year left of Chandler's contract. You have Jaren Jackson Jr., who appears to be a piece that's going to be something you can build upon. And you could kind of move on. And so people kind of talk themselves into it. And then you see what happened last night. Well, the Grizzlies are not athletic, even by their own admission. They're not fast. They're not quick. On top of that, they've never been a very good shooting basketball team. And they had rotational issues and rotational questions. And then they had rebounding issues and rebounding questions. And last night, those rebounding issues and questions were answered with a resounding, oh, they're there, as they averaged seven rebounds per quarter, 28 rebounds. And granted, part of the rebounding discrepancy was because the Grizzlies missed so many shots that Indiana had the opportunity to get rebounds. And then Indiana was making shots, so the Grizzlies didn't have as many opportunities to get rebounds. But that doesn't describe a 29 rebound discrepancy. And then on top of that, you have Mike Conley, who I actually thought last night did a very good job of creating. But the problem is, when your job is to create and no one hits shots, the question becomes, well, what are you creating for? So, you know, are they better off playing Kyle Anderson with that unit? I don't know. But, you know, overall, the Grizzlies obviously didn't cover and they were blown out. But overall, I thought the game fairly went to script.
Yeah, that's fair.
I tell you, one last NBA thing. The thing that stuck out to me last night, the whole league, was the New Orleans Pelicans have clearly.
I feel better and better about my MVP pick. If we're doing overreaction, if we're doing day two overreaction, I feel better about my MVP pick.
Well, but it's not just one day. He did this in the playoffs last year too, and he's grown into
the second half of last season.
Yeah, he really did. He's grown into his role, and they've built around him with Mirotić and even Julius Randle. They've built around him in a way that, man, they dominate on the glass. And I know this is going to shock people. When you give up Luke Mbamute and Trevor Ariza and replace them with Carmelo Anthony, you fall off defensively. Off a cliff.
Yeah, I feel better about that. If we're doing day two overreactions again, I feel better about that and that I just didn't believe in Houston. And I am willing to concede. We've seen historically in the NBA that there is about a, you know, until Christmas, there's kind of a transitional period of figuring out chemistry, kind of figuring out what you are. I'll even say till January. But I don't know. Like, I don't feel like Houston made themselves better. I thought they made themselves worse. And to me, there could be some confirmation bias in that last night. But I certainly saw exactly what I thought was going to happen with Houston.
Yeah.
I saw the Oklahoma City Thunder wearing Rockets uniforms. And I know how that story goes.
Man, I just don't. Carmelo must be like the greatest wingman in the history of the world. Because it makes zero sense to me how that entire league loves him. And the only thing I can think of is he's like the greatest hype man for you at the club, at the bar.
They say he's just really cool, that he has a cool personality, that guys like hanging with him, that he's just a nice guy, that NBA guys just like him. And look, he was one of those guys that was once a legend, and these young players look up at him, and they remember him when he was one of the two or three best scorers in the league, and he's a brand in and of himself, and Carmelo's a good guy. He just can't defend, and he wants shots.
He's a good guy,
and he wants. But you know what I mean? Among guys and stuff in that environment, he's a good locker room guy. Everybody in Oklahoma City raved about him. But he wants shots. He wants shots, and he can't guard. And he's not. Yeah. He's not. He didn't age the same way. He's the same age as LeBron, but he didn't age the same way as LeBron.
Well, no. I imagine LeBron took care of himself a little. Based on what I've read about both of them, I think LeBron took life a little more seriously than Carmelo.
For sure.
So, Auburn Ole Miss, I don't care about that, Jeff. We're not going to talk about that. But where are you falling on the Gus Malzahn in danger crazy scale here? Because, you know, Allen Green didn't give him that contract. So, Allen Green can just blame Jay Jacobs or whomever else operated that thing last year and move forward with whatever he wants to do. Speaking of Gus in the present tense.
I think Neil can probably vouch for this, but I remember saying, like, right after I saw that first loss to LSU, and then you kind of looked at the schedule and you're like, and they got more and more losses coming. And I think I remember calling Neil and asking him, like, how are we really certain, based on what I know about Auburn, and that place is cutthroat and they're ruthless. And I never felt like he was all that popular to begin with. I felt like he just beat Alabama and Georgia in back-to-back weeks. And then, unfortunately for Gus, he had to play Georgia again, got curb stomped, and then he lost to UCF. And so on what should have been a big year, a kind of like a stump speech, a rally speech, you know, Trump giving a speech in South Haven, which should have been like one of those type of moments, it ended very flat. And they came into this year, and it's, for whatever reason, the way that the schedule works, when the even calendar years start, Auburn's schedule gets way tougher. And then you threw in the state loss, and then that was even before the Tennessee thing. You could just feel it all spiraling out of control. And I just remember thinking, I get it. I know the buyout, and that seems obvious, but I've just seen Auburn not really care before, and I don't know if they go into debt. I don't know what they do, but they end up just getting rid of a guy because, like, that's just kind of how that school operates. And at first, I think people were dismissive, and then it certainly seems like, to me, it certainly seems the last week, 2 weeks, it seems like we've reached the inevitable and that it's over. And I think Auburn, give them credit for all they do right or all they do wrong. When it's over, Auburn does a pretty good job of pulling the trigger.
We taped episode 33 of Greatest Pod in the South, presented by Cathead Distillery. Always be closing. Last night, hour and 5 minutes, the first half of it was dedicated to this. I would strongly suggest to anyone out there who is interested in what's going on at Auburn that you listen to the first half of that podcast, because you'll get your answer.
I mean, I think it's done. And I think now it's a matter of when, not if.
One, J.G. Tate agrees with you, and I don't think you'll take offense to this. When it comes to Auburn, Jay is better sourced than either you or me. And Jay is convinced that it is done. I'll give you a tease. One, J.G. Tate, who is on his 20th season covering Auburn, one J.G. Tate said last night that if Auburn loses in Oxford on Saturday, and by the way, Jay thinks Auburn will lose in Oxford on Saturday, he thinks it's an 80% chance. No, I mean, at least 80% is what I think he said. You'll have to listen to the podcast. I think he said 80%. He might have said at least 80% chance that Gus Malzahn does not get through next week.
Well, when you look at the totality here, because I pulled it up because I thought that was right. This is right. You know, the first year Gus is there, they do the whole BCS championship game, 12-2, all that stuff.
Yeah.
After that, 4 of his 5 years, counting this year because they're going to get to this number, he would have lost at least 5 games in every one of those seasons. 4 of the last 5 years, at least 5 losses. It's amazing. Somewhere. It's amazing the emotion carried those 2 weeks into that contract. His overall record
Sexton.
Is bad.
Oh, well, Chase, we can't do that. We've watched firsthand. I talked about this in Memphis on radio with Neil, either I think it was Tuesday.
Okay.
I get it. They're the gold standard, and I get it. Big wins are what matter, and that's what makes you feel good. But beating Alabama has made already, at the minimum, 3 schools make horrific business decisions. It started with Texas A&M when they gave that massive contract to Kevin Sumlin. It then continued with Ole Miss when both parties, both Ole Miss and Hugh Freeze, would have been the better for it to have Hugh Freeze go to Florida. Instead, we got to save our coach. And now you see it with Auburn and Malzahn. And credit to Ole Miss, at least they found a way to financially get out of it. And A&M, I think, blinked a couple of times before they wrote the check.
Took a break in our talk with Jeffrey to tell you this part of the podcast, brought to you in part by Visit Oxford. Plenty going on in town this weekend, including double-decker bus tours. Only 2 more opportunities for that this season. That is at 2 o'clock on Friday. You got the Wizard of Oz coming October 21st. Oxford Art Crawl, October 23rd. Jim Weatherly is the guest to night at Thacker Mountain. Radio, I think that has been moved to the Lyric, and that is at 6 p.m. if you'd like to take part in that as well. You can find out a full calendar of events at visitoxfordms.com/events. Tons going on with a football game against Auburn at 11 o'clock on Saturday.
Megan Phillips with LAH Real Estate is the person to call for all your real estate needs in the Birmingham area. With almost a decade of experience, Megan's knowledge and expertise can help you buy or sell your home today. Visit our website, MeganMPhillips.com. That's MEAGANMPhillips.com. Or call Megan at 205-602-7929. Again, 205-602-7929. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with a personal touch. OUB is offering 1-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, 3-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY with the 3-year term. Customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's 3-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Now back to Jeffrey Wright on the Oxford Exxon podcast. Don't count Auburn out. You talked about ruthless and cutthroat. Let me tell you, I don't know what's going to happen, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know what is actually going to happen, Jeffrey, but I can tell you this with certainty. Today at Auburn, they are absolutely investigating every possible way to either give Gus Malzahn significantly less than $32 million or perhaps to give Gus Malzahn nothing.
So you're saying they might be combing through his phone records themselves today?
I'm simply saying, Chase, that in Auburn's mind, they have not surrendered the idea. They have not surrendered to the concept of we're going to have to cut this guy a check for $15 million within the next 30 days.
And in fairness, they have a leg up. So, for instance, Ross Bjork had a borderline unwinnable position in which he had a coach that he knew he wanted to fire and knew he wanted to get rid of, yet he had so little political clout. Like, for instance, had Ross wanted to start combing through those phone records just on a random Tuesday, shall we say, I don't think it would have worked out very well for Ross.
I agree.
Now, at Auburn, if someone says they want to start combing through Gus's phone records, just use that as an example. I'm not saying I know anything about Gus's phone records. But for instance, if you want to dig into anything into Gus Malzahn, there's not one person that makes a decision, that donates a dollar, that says, oh, we got to think about this. In fact, they're saying, do you need any help?
Oh, there is a line of people waiting to go through whatever needs to be gone
Everybody
through.
Take a page. Yeah.
No. Everybody take a page.
Yeah.
And
you bring up a great point. And I'm going to say this again because Ross Bjork, I get this question in my mailbag every week. I've gotten where I almost skip it most weeks. You know, is Ross Bjork this? Is Ross Bjork that? It is my opinion. Bjork's never told me this. He probably would dispute this. But it's my opinion regardless that no later than draft night, and probably before draft night, he would have liked to have moved on from Hugh Freeze. But to your point, Hugh Freeze had just won the Sugar Bowl. And a generation of Ole Miss fans.
And beaten Alabama. I think
it's a great point. Beat Alabama twice.
In Tuscaloosa.
It's a great point. He'd beaten Alabama twice, and he won the Sugar Bowl, and a generation of Ole Miss fans who had grown up with that poster of We Shall Return, raising the flag on the Superdome and stuff, that had a mythical connotation to it. And he had just won that game, and he all that stuff. And he did not have the political capital to do it. And so when people say, well, he should have known, they should have known. Look, they heard stuff. I know they heard stuff. Know that for an absolute gospel fact, that they heard stuff. But hearing things and being able to confirm things, or hearing things and
contractually
proving things,
and being able to prove it where you can get rid of a guy, is a completely different matter, especially when the guy has the wool pulled over every alum's eyes through the prism of winning the Sugar Bowl. And then let's face it, this is part of the Bible Belt, this whole part of the country, and you have that segment of the Ole Miss fan base, of the Alabama fan base, of every other fan base that loves the idea of our guy wins, and our guy's a better guy than their guy.
I'll contest that point only on semantics. I don't think it's so much that our guy wins and does it better than your guy. I think a lot of Christians today, especially people that I would consider true believers, I think a lot of them feel like, I don't know if persecution's the right word, but at the bare minimum, it's not cool to be a Christian anymore. And that if you're a Christian and you get made fun of, and then they feel under attack to a small degree. I'm not saying that they feel as under attacked as you can in 2018 in America, where the truth is we've really run out of actual real problems. And I think
that's fair.
There's this idea that when you see a guy that is so outspoken in his faith and has success, it makes you want to root for him.
It's fair.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
What's your opinion on Jimbo to this point, job he's doing over there?
Well, that was the other thing I was – because Neil and I had talked – actually, I might have told you this.
Mm-hmm.
I actually thought Jimbo was going to be the end of Gus. I didn't realize Gus was going to be the end of Gus.
I just thought A&M would take that place at the table and push him down the pecking order.
Yeah, because, I mean, Gus has proven he can't beat Ed Orgeron. At home, on the road, doesn't really matter. He can't beat him. And so LSU's always going to have more talent than Auburn. And it certainly appears that Jimbo's recruiting message thus far is really resonating with young kids, both beyond the state of Texas and inside the state of Texas.
He's got a damn good PowerPoint.
He's so compelling in his presentation.
He is. He's just, you hear him speak and he's just, God, he's enthralling.
Oh, it just makes you want to sign right up.
It really does. And the flip side of it is, you can dislike Jimbo and by all means, whatever. That's your prerogative. To me, you can't criticize his ability to get production out of quarterbacks.
No.
Because how's DeAndre Francois looking? And, and after they played Ole Miss, every Ole Miss person I knew, like, that guy's going to win the Heisman. It's like, he realized that people were running open by 20 yards. Like, I was not a good quarterback, and I could have made over half of those throws. Like, he's very good at getting production out of the quarterbacks. You see what he's doing with Kellen Mond. Kellen Mond last year looked like a lost puppy. And this year, guy looks fine.
He looks good
with him.
So, yeah. Look, he's gone from warm spit to a pretty good player.
Yeah. And then you look at what Gus does, and unless Gus has an elite tailback, he never moves the football consistently. And I've never thought he's been good at adjusting in game. You look at his record, I don't know, man. Not to besmirch the name of high school football coaches, because there's actually lots of decent ones out there that are good coaches and know football as much as a lot of these other people. But it's a high school offense, man. It doesn't adjust. It's, if you like a slow developing dive play, it's the one for you. If you like slow developing misdirection plays when you're running the ball down the field, it's the offense for you. And I've just never bought into it. And Gus and Hugh also, when they kind of arrived on the scene, you were getting the tail end of the Les Miles era. I feel like they spent the last 4 years at LSU trying to fire Les Miles before they actually got to fire him. Arkansas was in transition between Petrino and Bielema, and I think what Bielema wanted to do just doesn't work at Arkansas. I think Kevin Sumlin's track record's kind of showing that, if you give him Manziel or you give him Case Keenum at a lower level, he's a pretty good coach. But other than that, when the talent's even, he's not really that good of a coach. And, they kind of took advantage of that. And now we're starting to see that the lesser X and O football coaches and the rah-rah and recruiting guys, if you will, I think they're getting phased out of the league.
just transition a little bit here in the last few minutes with you. Help me with the NFC a little bit. We've had five, six weeks of NFL games now. Teams have played at least five games. In the NFC, who can beat the Rams?
Saints.
Is that it?
That's it.
You really think so?
In my opinion.
I mean, the East is warmed over garbage at this point.
Ooh, it is. It is a special.
I mean the Eagles are going to win the division, right?
I mean, I think, but don't discount the fact the Eagles have to play the first place schedule.
Are your boys going to suck for the Duck? Is it time to suck for the Duck? Or do you like the Duck? Is he the answer?
I'm not all in on Herbert. I'm not. I don't. Did you get to watch the Washington game?
I saw some highlights of it. I saw some highlights. I didn't see the game.
That's the problem with Herbert. His highlights are awesome. But when you watch him throughout the course of a game, everything has to be perfect for him. For instance, it has to be the right look. He has to make his number one has to be open. And then he throws a pretty football. And B, he's got pretty good ball placement. But man, when just one of those elements is off, you start to see why he was a three-star.
Herbert or Josh Allen?
Herbert.
Okay.
Because at least Herbert's accurate.
All right. Fair enough. Just curious.
I mean, that's the problem for the Giants this year. Like, I think Saquon Barkley could be a really good player. I think he could be a Hall of Famer if he learns how to run between the tackles and displays anything that resembles vision between the tackles. I legitimately think he'd be a Hall of Famer. But there's still no justification of making that pick at number two when you could have had any other quarterback other than Baker.
And they've all shown things to at least make you think they're going to be okay.
Except for Allen.
Okay, fair enough.
Darnold's got a chance to be a pretty good player.
And I think Rosen's got a chance to be... Rosen and Baker have chances to be elite.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go there.
Baker and Rosen have chances to win Super Bowls.
Except Baker's in Cleveland.
Yeah, but I mean, John Dorsey's not an idiot, and he's going to be able to get rid of Hugh Jackson finally. I mean, that's kind of the irony of it all. The Browns, who used to take so much heat for pulling the plug on coaches too early, they decide to hang in there with Hugh Jackson, a guy that coming into the season was 1-31, like. They didn't let John Dorsey fire him. And so, you know, I'm thinking Dorsey's behind the scenes telling Hugh, listen, you got to play Tyrod, man. That guy, he'll help the locker room. He's the first guy in, last guy out. And all the while, John Dorsey's just thinking, this idiot is going to actually do it, and he's just going to lose games because he's an idiot. And then I can actually get to fire him, and then I can hire the guy that I want to hire.
You all in on the career of Patrick Mahomes, or is this thing going to level out a little bit?
Oh, no, I'm all in.
Are you?
Absolutely, I'll all in.
Do what now?
I still think one of my favorite football games of all time is that
the Baker-Mahomes-Baker
duel that was like 70-63 or whatever.
Yeah, both teams had 800 yards of total offense.
Could have been a precursor to something.
Think so?
Well, I mean, especially, it's just the way, that's the way... For all you tough-nosed, they should hit harder at practice, guys, that's football the way God intended it.
Just sling it around them with bad secondaries.
Every
play. That's what we should do.
Every play. I at least respect Kingsbury for that. Kingsbury recognized that year, every time that Patrick does not throw the football, it is a wasted down.
That's fair.
Now, that's fair.
Mahomes is awfully good, man. He makes every throw really that you have to make in today's NFL.
Well, and like, God, the dude is so elusive in the pocket.
Oh, he's great feet. Great feet. Last thing,
his dad was a professional athlete.
It's amazing. Last thing, back to the NFC thing for a second. Saints played the Rams in New Orleans in a couple weeks. Can the Rams lose enough or the Saints win enough to actually make that a home field type game that matters, or are we just destined to be kind of the 1-2 and head to LA no matter what?
No, there's a reason why your brother freaks out when they play Denver on the road, and because he realizes, like, okay, the odds of going into New Orleans and winning that game are not great, and home field clearly matters. I mean, do you want to go to the Superdome for the NFC Championship game if you're anyone else in the NFC?
No, absolutely not. The only way I want to be in the NFC Championship game
Breeze
in the Superdome is if I'm wearing a Saints
game, right?
jersey.
New Orleans.
Yeah, no, Breeze has never lost a home playoff game. That is correct.
So you answer that question.
I thought about taking Dylan down there in a couple weeks, but I just don't think I can handle that with him for a day. I just don't think I can. I think my fandom will not be able to tolerate that for a 6-7 hour period.
Yeah, I'm looking at right now. All right, so the Saints coming up.
They got to go to Baltimore. Big game Sunday. Tough game. They're like 4.5 point underdogs Sunday.
All right, at Baltimore, ooh, the 3:05 game.
They've got a really weird stretch the next 3 weeks.
God, that is a three-game stretch that's not fun.
Yeah.
At Baltimore, Minnesota, at Baltimore, at Minnesota, Rams at home.
Ooh. Yeah, you could go 0-3 there in a hurry.
Well, screw that. That's a five-game stretch that stinks. At Minnesota, or bigger, Baltimore, at Minnesota, Rams at home, at the Bengals.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Philly at home, Atlanta at home, then you get the NFC East break. At the Cowboys, at the Bucks, at the Panthers, Steelers, and then you close with the Panthers. God, that is not
a tough schedule.
What is the Rams schedule?
Well, the Rams play the NFC West is the problem. So it's just win, 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 win.
Well, you don't play nothing but the NFC West.
I know, but you play a lot. Half, a third of them.
All right, good pod here. All right, here's the Rams schedule coming up. As to Chase's point, at the Niners,
yeah.
Packers at home,
okay.
Huh?
Nah.
At the Saints,
it's an L.
Seahawks at home,
probably a win.
Yeah.
Fun, awesome Monday night football game. Chiefs at home.
Ooh.
Now that'll be a good Monday night, right?
I'm watching that.
Lions. On the road at Detroit or at Detroit, as Chase and Dylan would say.
Yeah.
Chicago or at Chicago.
Oh.
Eagles at home.
Mm?
At Arizona, and they finish the year with the Niners at home.
Well, they're not going 16-0, I'm gonna tell you that.
They're not going 16-0, but if you're saying which schedule would I rather play,
I'd rather play the Rams.
I'd much rather play the Rams schedule.
No, it feels like 13-3 and 11-5, something like that.
Yeah, and if you told me the Rams go honestly, if you told me the Rams go 14-2, and if the Saints go 12-4, 13-3. It just feels like to me when I look at it, I feel like the Rams are going to be able to stay one game in front of the Saints.
Even losing the head-to-head.
Correct. I just feel like they're going to be able to stay one game
ahead. Look, the Saints are not running this table. I mean, if you offered me 3-2 right now in the next five, I would jump.
Oh, heck yeah.
And then you're eight and three at that point, and you're fine.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's fine. Yeah.
So... anyway,
all right. Did before we go, did Joe West get the call right?
Ooh,
his glove looked closed, didn't it?
Yeah, the glove, but it looked like it hit a fan. I hate Joe West.
You make the argument the reason why his glove looked closed is because the fans pushed his glove in.
Yeah, I hate Joe West. I hate Joe West.
Please, Cowboy Joe, come on.
I hate Cowboy Joe. I do. Can't believe I'm saying this. I'm not sure that he got it wrong.
I think that's the
problem. Because of what, though?
Because I do think you can't tell, in all seriousness.
You think the kid came into the field?
I think it's super close.
Okay.
I will say this. You can't trust the straight-on angle to tell whether or not he came.
The one angle gets blocked by the security guy. The one angle that probably would have shown whether he was in the field or not. And I think if you eliminate the fans, I actually think he catches the ball.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. The ball's caught if the fans aren't there.
And so I can't decide whether.
But if they don't come into play, everything is fair game right over that wall.
I understand.
Because that
so
was part
close.
Of my irritation last night. A lot of people didn't know the rule.
Yeah. No, I'm 2000. It's been 15 years, but I know the rule.
Yeah.
It's so close. I want to be like, Joe West screwed it up. Ha ha. Big loser. Big fat loser. You're too fat to be out there. You're a joke. I hate you. But I kept watching it and going, oh, it's really close.
See, I hate Angel Hernandez way worse than I hate Cowboy Joe.
Oh, well, of course. Angel Hernandez is the absolute worst.
I don't understand how Angel – the only reason Angel's employed because of the union? Is that it?
Yeah, and the lawsuit.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand how that guy's still – I do not understand. For as good as Major League Baseball umpires are, he is not. Yeah. Like, it's just unbelievable. I don't know. I guess this is my whole deal with replay, and especially baseball replay. Baseball replay, I think, more than any other sport, has changed the spirit of the rule to the letter of the rule. Like these pickoff plays where we're seeing that a guy slides back in safely, and as he's trying to climb up the bag, he is off the bag for
a millisecond
of a split second.
Yeah.
And he's technically out. And I just feel like in baseball, we've done a lot of that. I just would have thought, what was it called on the field? Because it was called a home run on the field, I thought, right?
It's called interference immediately.
Well, then fine. Stick with it. I was fine with that. The problem I had it on TV too early because I was trying to watch that crappy Grizzlies game. So I had it on TV too, so I didn't have the sound on. So all I was seeing was the pictures. Or what, you know, like all I was seeing was the replay and whatnot. So I couldn't tell exactly what happened till after.
I really have no issue with the call. I'm only bugged because it's two really, really good baseball teams and the fans not being there, the ball's called. And I have no doubt about that in my mind whatsoever.
And then Benintendi's catch at the end was big time. That is, and Andrew Benintendi's catch, if he misses that ball, it's ball game.
And it's over.
Yeah, Kimbrel was just absolutely, you know, when your car is on E and you're going, I don't know, that there's a gas station in 5 miles, and I don't know how close I'm going to get to there.
Yeah, Kimbrel, wow. What is the opposite of a shutdown closer right now?
for that good a team, Kimbrel. He's pitching. So yeah.
Benintendi talked about how he did this mental gymnastics before that pitch, and he said, okay, where are the runners? He's probably going to hit the ball hard. He's coming fastball here. If he hits it over my head, there's the short wall. I've got room to scoot up. And so even though it wasn't on the cheat sheet, this is a Yahoo story. It was really well done. Yeah, I think it was Jeff Passan. He scooted up a step and a half right before that pitch. And if he doesn't do it, that's not a catch. And if he tries to dive for it there, there's a real chance it gets by him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think my larger deal is if you're recording the other team's signs, I don't really have time to listen to you bellyache about how you're getting screwed in the series.
I'm with you.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, y'all spending 2 hours on Grizzlies today?
God willing. God willing.
Quick break in our talk right, with Jeff. Enjoyed it. The podcast awesome. Brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting. It understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float down option. So you can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Podcast also brought to you in part by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you've been thinking about that golf trip with the guys you'll never forget, or maybe that anniversary trip that she'll never forget, whether you've dreamed of playing St. Andrews or sitting at a cafe in Paris, talk to John Edwards before you try to do it yourself. Why use John? Well, he's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. John traveled the globe for 37 years before getting into the travel business, so he knows the extra attention needed to make a special trip one that creates a lifetime of unique memories. So if you're thinking about going with the boys to Pebble Beach or taking her to Napa for the vacation of her dreams, Call John, give him some parameters and a budget, let him give you some options. Know this, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. Call him at 901-494-3387 or send him an email at jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. Join the Westin Jackson for their inaugural event, the Festival of Trees. It's a community-wide event that the Westin Jackson has partnered with Eventful, Visit Jackson, Friends of Children's Hospital, and many others to create a one-of-a-kind, all-month-long holiday weekend. It's comprised of elaborately decorated Christmas trees lining the Westin Jackson halls, a holiday charity gala, sugar plum fairy teas, and brunch with Santa. This annual event is sure to delight kids of all ages and warm the Christmas spirit in all who attend. You can purchase your tickets today at www.jacksonfestivaloftrees.com.
Sounds kind of fun there at the end.
Yeah, Santa Claus. Everybody likes Santa.
It's not time yet.
Well, it's not yet. They don't do it. It's not till November.
Like, they got Christmas stuff out in like Home Depot and stuff.
Yeah, they already started. Some people started putting Christmas stuff out like in September. It's ridiculous.
I don't understand. Went to buy some Halloween stuff the other day, and there was tons of Christmas stuff. Because like my wife was like, "Hey, let's get this. This is like it's October. Like, yeah, you can get that, but let's get it later. Because I just gotta put it somewhere right now is the problem."
Laura made mention the other day.
I can get it online too. I promise.
Yeah, Laura made mention the other day, and I think she was joking. I think she was messing with me about, you know, it's time to kind of start thinking about getting the Christmas stuff down. I was like, no, it's not. And then I think she was messing with me because last year she wanted to put it up super early, and I was like, oh, for the love of God.
No, there was like this little outdoor thing she was wanting to buy, and she goes, "Well, we need to get it now, or it might be gone." And I'm like, HomeDepot.com will have that puppy. I promise you, that baby's gonna be online. They'll ship it right to your house. No, it was like this, like Santa Claus dressed up pig thing with lights all over it. I don't know, whatever.
Huh?
Got a thing for pigs? I don't know. There's pigs a lot of places. So anyway.
You can put blow-ups out front?
I'm not a big blow-up person. I have a little bitty pumpkin jack-o'-lantern blow-up on the front porch, but it's pretty small. It's not invasive. It's not hurting anything. Got these little pumpkins in the ground that you can push the little button, and they make weird noises and stuff. And then got the blow-up, and then got... There's like this hay pumpkin mom sort of arrangement on the front porch that looks all right. It's okay. Typically, though, Christmas is pretty standard with just like some wreaths on the brick area in the front of the house, and then some lights on it, just some basic stuff. I'm not Clark Griswold by any stretch of the imagination, so not my thing.
No, I'm not either. I'm always wanting to mess around with like neighbors and stuff, and if I had just the money to do it.
Put the huge arrangement up where it's...
Yeah, where it's like six blow-ups out front. I mean, I would love to do it just to harass neighbors and such.
I did notice in another neighborhood in town when I dropped someone off a couple weeks ago, there was somebody for Halloween that had between 10 and 15 blow-ups in their front yard for Halloween.
When we lived in Spanish Fort, the girls were little. God's honest truth, every night from Thanksgiving until Christmas Eve, we would drive around multiple neighborhoods, and I guess that was when it was the thing. There were so many houses all around that had themes, like the Teletubbies. We always had to go to the Teletubby house because the girls wanted to look at the Teletubbies, and they would. It was the funnest thing because the girls would be, ooh, every night.
It used to be a huge thing for, you know, neighborhoods to have themes, and that's kind of past. You don't really have that as much anymore.
Well, now you don't even know who the hell your neighbors are, so.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Or you hate them.
I mean, I remember when I was younger, that was a deal. You went through this neighborhood for this theme, and every year they had a different theme, and everybody did it all together, and it was a big deal.
I feel confident saying this because I'm 99.99999% sure that the guy who lives across the street from me does not listen to the podcast.
Sure.
Pretty sure.
Sure.
Pretty sure.
Okay.
He parks, they have always will park a car right in a spot where if we back out, we're going to hit it. And I went out and I'm like, hey, man, can you just not park there? I mean, can you move up or park in the drive? He goes, well, y'all have a white car that's parked right there. I'm like, how does that impact your See, this is why
it's
you
It's always on someone else, too. Like, it's never, okay, yes, I'm doing something stupid.
Well, and it's, you know, our driveway is, yeah, that driveway was like that when you bought the house. You kind of knew that was part of the deal. And then it's, you know, you realize this guy hates me.
Why?
I don't know, because we just, I guarantee you he doesn't know my name and I know I don't know his. Isn't that funny?
Was he against the speed bumps on the road?
No, he was okay with the speed bumps.
Okay. A lot of speed bumps going around Oxford neighborhoods right now.
Well,
four have been put in my neighborhood. At least two have been put in the adjacent neighborhood that I run through some.
The area in front of my house was quickly becoming a speedway.
That's fair. All right, last thing. I'm going to stop in a second. Personal issue I'm running through here. So,
before you get to that, yeah, tease it.
Okay.
This podcast also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi, represents clients in 24 states, has advisors in 3 states. Founded in 1997, Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research, specific research from people close to the market. Not emotions. Regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan. Cookie cutter financial planners just kind of put you in a box. They find that spot in the box where you fit, and that's where you go. Pinnacle Trust doesn't do that. They build a box just for you. To learn more about Pinnacle Trust, go to pintrust.com. That's pinntrust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You'll get 10% off your first year's fee.
So we've had this discussion a long time on this podcast about the irritating animals that get on your nerves anyway when you're running and they come at your feet. The
yes.
pug that I've been very famous with for the last couple of years.
Yes.
I've not seen that pug, so I don't know if they moved, it died, or they're actually minding what the law should be, one of the three things there. Because the pug at times would actually grab the back of my leg with its teeth and tear shin guards or whatever it was I wore. Wherever I was wearing compression sleeves or socks. But here's a new one, because as you well know, you're not as mad at this animal. Now I have a black lab that wants to run with me. But he's a bull in a china shop, yeah. As you're aware. He runs into me. He's constantly body blowing me as I'm running. And he doesn't have at least the pug, you know, it's like three houses. They'd kind of get tired. The lab will go a mile with
you.
Yeah, he will not stop.
Yeah, he thinks it's fun.
So what do you do to the lab that just completely screws up your stride or your pace? Because he's hitting you with his body the entire way. He's running into my thighs,
legs. It's an irritant. You're not mad at him because in his mind, he's thinking, hey, here comes my very best friend.
And when I start swatting at him, he thinks I'm playing with him.
Yeah, he thinks you're playing with him, and so he continues to go because they're just...
Because I don't really want to kick him in the head.
Well, no.
But what do you do?
I don't know. I think you could talk to the owner.
Go down, knock on the owner's door and go, look, I love your dog.
He's a great dog, or she's a great dog,
but
it's going to tear my ACL. Because every morning I get Rizzo up, or Rizzo gets me up, because he has to go to the bathroom and his stomach alarm is going off.
Yeah.
And getting him out of the bedroom and to the back door, he's hitting my leg, and I'm always like, dude, you are taking my knee out. Chill a minute, but he doesn't know how to chill a minute. He's a Labrador Retriever. They don't chill. I think that's all you can do.
I can see this coming. I mean, 5-6 houses down, he's kind of getting ready and like waiting on.
Well, he's excited. Here comes my best friend.
And then I get to that spot, and here we go. Boom, yeah. Boom, boom.
There's not
boom,
a mean
boom.
Bone in their bodies.
No, he's not being rude.
No.
He's not being the pug, the little Jack.
No, he's excited. He's going for a run with his pal.
Yeah. So we make the turn, we make the next turn, we make the next turn, and we get back to his house. He still keeps going.
Well, you
can't tire him out.
No, they have just reservoirs of energy that just go on and on and on. Now he's like, well, if he's going to keep running, I'm going to. They're pleasers. If he's going to keep running, I'm going to keep running.
Yeah, it's a problem. running into a bit of an issue here.
Yeah, I think you just go to the owner.
He's the only one right now that bugs me. There's some other dogs in the neighborhood that will ignore me. He is not one of those.
I would just go to the owner and do what you said. Hey, your dog's great. He's a super nice dog. But here's the thing. Is there any way you could possibly
curtail this?
And maybe they'll help you because they should be concerned that he's going to get run over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he appears to be staying in the neighborhood, but there's no guarantee that's right. going to continue to be the case.
Right.
He's a big dog.
Yeah.
He's a big retriever.
Yeah, he's just playing. But because
if it was Gus pre-losing weight, I thought, well, I could probably just outrun him. But no.
Yeah, well, Gus would not have run with you. And Gus would not run with you now.
Even leaner?
Yeah, no, he wouldn't run with you now.
Rizzo would run with me.
Yes.
All day.
For all day.
Yeah.
Gus would not run with you. If Gus ran with you more than about 10 feet,
a biscuit in my pocket.
You would know, oh my God, I've got something in my pocket. And it's probably like a lamb chop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. Jay Tate tonight at Funky's. Come see us. Come hang out. Come get your picture with Jay and his gold hair that will be a topic of conversation. I am sure it'll be a bit of an Oxford Ixon podcast, G Pitts hybrid, I assume, tonight at Funky's. So we'll. Have that to you in audio form tomorrow. Ole Miss and Auburn Saturday at 11 o'clock. Talk to you soon.